Welcome to the I Love Running podcast. I'm Stefan.
And I'm Jenna.
From Lungile Health.
How's it, everyone? Welcome to episode 3 of the I Love Running podcast. I'm sitting here in Kensington Square at Sports Zone with Ryan, who's going to chat to us a little bit about all things shoes and give us some valuable insights into trail and road running shoes. How's it, Ryan?
Hi there. How are you doing?
Fine, thanks. So, Ryan, tell me a little bit about yourself and what it is you guys do here at Sports Zone.
Okay, well, basically, my name is Ryan Masson. I've been working at Sports Zone now for 9 years, into the specialist running game. I love my job, very passionate about it. And basically, the Sports Zone is a specialist running store where we have a look at your biomechanics, at your running gait, and put you into a shoe from there. We don't just sell blindly and sell you what's the most expensive shoe or what's popular at the market on the moment.
Fabulous. So how do you guys go about deciding what shoes to put people in?
Obviously, I have to have a look at you. What I'll do is I'll put you on my foot disc, which makes an imprint of your foot. I have a look at you walking barefoot in the store. I have a look at you running on our treadmill. And then I guide you into the right sort of shoe for your biomechanics from there.
Okay, awesome. So if people want to come in for an assessment, what does it cost them?
It's free of charge. We don't charge for that. It's actually part of the purchase of the shoe.
So if I come in for an assessment, do I then have to buy shoes?
No, not at all. Not at all. We're all about service in the store, so you don't have to at all.
Awesome. When can I come in?
Right now. We can do one right now for you. Otherwise, anytime, 8:30 to 5 o'clock, Monday to Friday, or 8:30 to 2 o'clock on Saturdays.
Great. Thanks so much. And that must really help runners to pick the correct shoe for them, because I know quite a few people, they aren't able to analyze their own feet. So coming in and having an expert look at it and give them advice must really help them out. Do lots of people use the service?
Yeah, 100% correct. It is quite daunting walking into a running store when you don't know anything about the product. And obviously getting put into the wrong shoe, it just leads to injuries.
Okay, so Ryan, let's say I come into your store and I have not got a cooking clue about shoes or about running shoes and what my feet need. So tell me a little bit about what the different options are when looking for a shoe.
Okay, well, basically the different options in the shoes is there's lightweight shoes, there's neutral shoes, stability, and motion control. But what I'll do is I'll have a look at your biomechanics, I'll look at your feet, your alignments, make sure everything's right, and then put you in the right shoe from there.
Okay, awesome. So then tell me a little bit about the cushioning versus the lightweight options, because some of these shoes, I pick them up and literally they're as light as a feather and I'm thinking, whoa, how can that protect my feet?
Okay, a lot of it comes down to the distance that the person runs. Someone who's running Comrades isn't going to pick up a lightweight racing shoe and go out and train and run Comrades in that. Ideally, a lighter weight shoe is for shorter distance for faster running. For example, race day, time trials, hill work, anything quicker, like that sort of thing.
And the more cushioned shoes?
The more cushioned shoes, obviously, for higher mileage. Comes down to weight of a person. Someone who's 100 kgs and heavier cannot run in a lightweight shoe. They will need a more cushioned shoe, so for the longer distances as well.
I get a lot of clients come to me and tell me, no, they're anti-pronating, or they supinate, or they neutral. And some of them don't actually even know what that means. Everyone assumes that they're anti-pronating. I think it's majority of us do, but tell us as listeners what the difference is between anti-pronating and neutral shoes.
All right, the most basic way to put it is a neutral shoe doesn't have extra support over the arch. Anti-pronation shoe, or stability shoe as we call it, it's for someone who's got a flatter foot who tends to roll inwards, who actually collapses the shoe slightly. So what they will do is they'll put a firmer wedge on the medial side or the inside of the shoe just to stop the shoe from collapsing, keep your foot nice and straight through your running gait.
So if someone's got knee problems or hip problems, would you put them in an anti-pronating shoe? Does that fix everything?
No, not all the time. Sometimes you could have a hip or a knee injury or problem, but just because you're not in a cushioned enough shoe. So just because you've got a hip or knee problem doesn't mean you need an anti-pronation shoe. So that's why obviously we're going to have a look and go from there into what sort of shoe you need.
So now, looking more specifically at the different types of shoes available, what brands are out there and which brands should we start taking notice of?
Okay, well, the main running brands currently, when you look at shoe counts and at a finish of a race, the major brands now, obviously Asics, New Balance, Saucony, Nike. Those are what we call the core brands of running.
And then which brands specialize in different types of running? So, you know, you get some brands that are known for maybe a 10K or maybe some Comrades brands. So give me some specifics on which brands like what style of running.
Okay, well, currently all the shoes, they do a shorter distance shoe, or all the brands, sorry, they do a shorter distance shoe and a longer distance shoe. So currently, like I say, when you look at shoe counts, I mean, Asics, for example, 50% of the running market. So it's always a good shoe for somebody to try. And then all the brands also do a lighter weight shoe for the racing side of things. And now with trail running getting so big, they're also all starting to branch into trail running shoes.
Is there a particular brand in trail running that's ahead of the rest?
I would go maybe say Salomon on just because they're so popular. They specialize in trail and they've got a big following of shoes. But at the moment, a lot of brands are up and coming in trail. I mean, Asics are doing good shoes. Brooks, they do a very nice trail shoe now as well.
So just because a brand doesn't only do trail doesn't mean their trail running shoe doesn't compete with Salomon.
100%, yeah. Because a brand like I mentioned, Asics again, they're so big in the road market that they've started to branch into trail now. And they're obviously going to do a good job, do their research and find out what the person needs in the shoe.
So does Asics actually have a particular shoe out already for trail running?
They've actually got a few on the market, yeah. The one that we keep is the Asics Trail Attack number 2. So it's a lot more aggressive, the outer sole of a shoe, more protective upper, and still got the nice gel cushioning.
And what does that retail for?
$995.
Okay, and then other trail running shoes that might be of interest, anything you can name specifically and give us a price on?
Okay, well, we also we stock the New Balance 1010, that shoe goes for $1,100. We keep the Brooks Cascadia, which is a very popular trail shoe at the moment worldwide, that goes for $1,300. And also, Saucony came in with the Kinvara Trail, which is their more of a lightweight racer-type trail shoe.
Okay, awesome. So if you guys want to get more information on that list that's just been explained to us, you can always pop in here at Sports Zone in Kensington Square and chat to Ryan. Or you can chat to Dave as well. He'll be in here and discuss the different types of trail shoes available. What I will do is get a list of those trail shoes and put them up on the website so you can actually quote that number and that style when coming in to have a look at the shoe and do a little bit of a foot assessment as well. And then with road running specifics, I mean, we need to get into the road running a little bit more, because with Comrades coming up, I'm sure quite a few people have obviously already made their selection for the type of shoes they're going to run in for Comrades. But let's talk about 2014. Maybe people are looking at doing Comrades. What would you suggest?
I would suggest the first step is to come into a specialist store like ours, have your gait had a look at, get recommended and fitted into the right sort of shoe. Then obviously in the shop we give you different options. We don't just put you into one brand. We like you to compare different brands and different feels. Each brand will have a different feel because they use different cushioning. And each shoe's got a different last from the factory, so they all got slightly different cuts. But the first step is obviously to come into a specialist, get fitted, and then go from there.
I've heard quite a few people, once they find a specific style of shoe or brand of shoe, they say, you know, they buy 2-3 pairs and just sort of stick with it, or they just keep going in and buying the updated version of that shoe. What is your opinion with that?
Well, yeah, okay. You always get the hardcore runner. And by that, I say someone who runs in the same shoe year after year, they know and they trust the shoe. Okay, with the effect of 3 shoes, what it does is each shoe, the midsole's got cushioning, which has a lifespan, and it actually gets compressed during the day and during your training. So having more than one pair of shoes obviously lasts longer by rotating different pairs. The cushioning and the midsole can bounce back overnight as your shoe's not being worn, and basically your shoe just lasts longer. But then what happens is you can get 3 different shoes from 3 different brands. As long as you, say, example, you're a neutral runner, you get 3 neutral shoes from 3 different brands and you should be fine like that.
So you do advise that someone do toggle between pairs of shoes. I suppose it would also help with cleanliness as well, and to stop yourself from getting any athlete's foot and that kind of thing.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, you let your shoes air out a bit and it gives them a break between each pair. But in this day and age, reality is that not everyone can afford 3 pairs of shoes. And there's nothing wrong with having one pair of shoes that you keep using for your training.
Okay, great. So what would you suggest someone should spend on the average pair of shoes? If they just, you know, first time getting into running or first time trail runners, what kind of outlay would you expect the person to spend setting themselves up with a good pair of trail running shoes or road running shoes?
Okay, currently all the brands, they do what they call an entry level shoe. So it's a shoe that doesn't have too much, it's not too specific, right? It doesn't have the most cushioned midsole. It's very basic. That shoe can go from 500 to 850, 900 rand. Like I say, all the brands do one. But then when you start getting 1,000 rand and more in price in the range, you obviously get more features of a shoe, more cushioned. It's a lot more comfortable of a shoe.
If someone's willing to spend the cash, would you suggest they go for that higher range shoe?
I would suggest so myself, yes. Because like I say, a guy who weighs 100 kgs in an entry-level shoe is not going to be the most comfortable shoe. Whereas a shoe, for example, 1,500 rand, it is the most cushioned shoe in the range. It's got a lot of features. It will be a much more comfortable ride for the guy.
What do you think about socks?
Socks, yeah, that is important. You cannot go out and use just a normal, folky sort of cotton sock, right? You got to have for example, we stock the folky running socks. So they got no seams. They're nice and breathable. They've got a little bit of support over the arches because blistering is a big problem with runners at the moment.
That's very interesting because I use the cheapest, nastiest socks that I can find, Mr. Price Sports Socks. Or I'll go to a market and buy cheap socks. So am I doing the wrong thing here?
It depends also on your training. If you go out and you're just jogging for 30 minutes a few times a week, a lot of people can get away with that sort of sock. I know like Mr. Price, they keep socks that are cheaper, but they've still got obviously the technology. They don't have the seams and they're quite breathable. But if you were a Comrades runner or a marathon runner, socks are very important. It's nothing worse than 10Ks into Comrades and you already got hot feet and battling with blisters.
That's very true. You bring up a very good point here. Tell me, now, what's trending at the moment in the world of running shoes?
Trending at the moment is obviously minimalist shoes. So what the guys have done, it all started off with a book that got released. And the theory is that less cushioning and less shoe on your foot is actually better for you. So that is quite a popular topic at the moment. Obviously not for everybody. I mean, a guy who's running Comrades, who's a big, heavy guy, he's going to battle on a shoe like that. So maybe someone who's doing shorter distances or running around grass or trail can try a more minimalist shoe. And obviously neon-colored running shoes now is trending. Everything has gone brighter. Bright laces, bright socks. Bright shoes, even bright clothing now.
And do you have some of this neon stuff available in your store?
100%, yeah. All the brands currently, I've got one or two or even three models that are in a neon bright color.
Awesome. Okay, guys, Lungile Trail Runners, head down to the store and get some neon stuff. And then you'll match our Lungile Trail, our caps and that kind of thing. We've also got some buffs coming out, actually, so keep your eyes peeled for buffs. Then with the minimalist and barefoot running shoes, can you give me some specifics on what's available? Because you get different heights of the heels.
Yes. Okay. Basically, this minimalist running is, like I say earlier, it's the latest thing trending. You get different levels of heel. I mean, lately, the shoes have gone down to a 0% heel drop of the shoes. There's no 0 mils on the shoe. Normally, a high mileage running shoe, you're looking at a 12 mil heel drop. And that is the most cushioned shoe normally. But now they've gone down to 8 mils and then to 6 mils, 4 mils, and even a 0 mil running shoe at the moment.
How would you suggest someone starts getting into barefoot running?
If someone's looking at getting into it, you got to start off small distances. You know, if you're going out and running 10 Ks a day, I wouldn't suggest getting a minimalist shoe and doing that sort of run. Start off with 2 or 3 Ks because there is no cushioning. The impact is more. Also, with minimalist running, you're using your calves and your hamstrings a lot more. Also, Achilles niggles could happen. So you got to ease into it. And ideally around a soccer field or trail where the shock is less, obviously. So the ground is softer for you. So that is a good way to try it out.
Okay, so in your opinion, barefoot shoes, fad or the future?
I personally think it's a fad. You know, I've been in the running game now for 9 years. And out of those 9 years, only 1 year now, everyone's into minimalist running. Before that, everyone wanted the most cushioned, most comfortable shoe. And like I say, Comrades runners, unfortunately, those guys cannot go minimalist because it's just too far the distance. So, and there's been no scientific research done that minimalist running is beneficial for the person. I've personally in the shop, I've seen a lot of guys come in for a minimalist shoe, get injured, and now they're back into their more traditional running shoe.
Okay, so you need to tread with caution when entering into this world of barefoot running. You need to progress your shoe heel descent from 7 mils to 5 and then work your way down and take it very slow. Start with short distances and also stretch and strengthen eccentrically your lower leg musculature. So you want to really stretch the calves gently but daily, 3 times a day, and try and ease yourself into it. Otherwise, you're right, you will get Achilles issues because you dropping almost from a heel to flat, and that lengthens that calf, lengthens the tendon, and it lengthens it really quickly, so you get a reactive inflammation. So if you want more specifics, you can always give us a ring, either of us, and we can chat to you about barefoot running. Okay. Different types of barefoot shoes or minimalist shoes, because you get those 5-finger ones and you get all the different types. Give us a little bit more information on what is actually out there and how can people make an informed decision on which shoe to select if they're wanting to try this style.
Okay, well, it basically comes down to fit of the shoe. I mean, there's a lot of minimalist shoes on the market now, the Vibram 5-fingers. That basically looks like you're wearing a glove over your foot. That is probably the most minimalist shoe out in the market. It's basically just a cover to protect your foot from anything that's protruding on the ground while you're running. And then the best thing is to do is to try a few pairs of minimalist shoes on between the different brands and see which one fits more comfortably on the foot, obviously. Like I said earlier, each brand has got a different cut, different last of the shoe. That's the way it's created in the factory. So not every brand would suit every person's foot.
So with these more minimalist shoes and barefoot shoes, it really is for people doing shorter distances or for people doing something like kettlebells or CrossFit. It's not really for long distance runners. Is that what you're saying?
I personally agree with that, yeah. I don't think it is made for the high mileage runner. But for gym and kettlebells, I know it's been very popular with that because there's not a lot of impacts. Obviously, the person's not doing a lot of running. So that sort of thing, I would say, if you're doing gym and you want to try minimalist, yeah, 100%. It's worth a try with that.
So would you say that South Africa has a good variety of shoe brands and access to the latest, or are we a little bit behind the rest of the world?
I think we are up there at the moment. When I say that, I mean, for example, we've got all the brands in South Africa, but we don't have all the shoes in the range. So, I mean, let's use Essex for an example. We in the store could have 5 or 6 models. This is in South Africa now, as a whole. Whereas you go to Europe and there's 15 models of a shoe, just purely because there's not enough orders from the stores and the customers that are out there, so they will not bring the shoe into the country. But we got all the major brands. Brooks has just made a comeback into the country. They're a very popular shoe in Europe currently, and Saucony is doing well. But I think we actually are up there worldwide in the running market.
Tell me about Newton's.
Newton is a... I wouldn't call it a triathlon shoe, but it's been very a big hit with the triathletes. Newton is a shoe that they've basically got a wedge under the forefoot, which is supposed to propel you onto your forefoot to promote this forefoot running, which has its pros and its cons because not everyone can land on their forefoot. Some people, you run how you're born. You know, if you land on your heel, you land on your heel. It's very hard to change someone, get them to run onto their forefoot. And now being an Ironman shoe, triathlon shoe, on the marathon of an Ironman, off the 180k bike, the guys are obviously very tired, they're fatigued. So it is going to be even harder to get onto the forefoot then. So the jury is still out on the Newton running shoes at the moment.
So, Ryan, in the world of running, what shoe is your top seller and which shoe would you recommend to most runners out there?
Okay, the top seller at the moment is obviously the Asics shoes. Like I said earlier, 50% of the running market in South Africa, they run in Asics shoes. They've got a very good continuation of the shoe. Currently, their top shoe now is the Nimbus. It's the Nimbus 14. So it's the 14th year that shoe's been around. And they've got a good continuation being that someone who's in that shoe now and who loves that shoe, next year the Nimbus 15 will be out. There won't be any major changes. So it doesn't feel like a completely different shoe every year. But that's why I say different people have got different biomechanics because New Balance, for an example, they specialize in widths. So they do D width, they do 2E, which is the wider width for men's and for women. So a lot of people that battle with all the other brands for width, they go into New Balance, offers a nice shoe. But that's why I suggest they come into the store and they get fitted and we give them different options and see what's the most comfortable shoe for them.
And then if I was going into the world of trail running, which shoe is your top seller and which one do you recommend the most?
The two biggest sellers that we've got at the moment are the Brooks Cascadia, and that is worldwide on sales at the moment. That shoe is doing very well for them. And also the Asics Fuji Attack. The Asics Fuji Attack now has got the same gel cushioning in the midsole as the road shoes. So it basically feels like an Asics road shoe, but on the trail.
Fabulous. Well, thank you so much for spending time with us today and for all this information. I'm sure that everyone will appreciate the in-depth analysis of the shoes available out there. So if anyone wants to get a hold of Ryan, you can find him at the Kensington Square at Sports Zone or call him on.
The number here is 031-564-6919.
Okay, cool, guys. Have a great day. Cheers.